we're going to cover the first three verses there in Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. And I'm going to read those from, it's short, so I'm going to read it from several different versions. Okay? Our first text is from the New American Standard Bible. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And now the old King James Version, or the authorized version. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And finally, from the New International Version. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about things we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what that was visible. Now, tonight we begin our exploration of the magnificent chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. This chapter stands out among all the writings of the New Testament as one of the great masterpieces of spiritual literature. The apostolic age produced dozens of such glories, but this is surely one of them. It's a masterful bit of persuasive writing. You know what persuasive writing is? He's going to try to move us. Now, in this chapter, we have the New Testament's only actual definition of the word faith. With a mere 9 Greek words, our author lays before us a powerful definition of faith in all its vitality. In the simplest way, our author says faith is. And as he does this, he takes a significant turn and in utter brevity rescues the word faith from the sphere of mere theological and philosophical abstraction and tells us that faith is, in all actuality, dynamic and alive. For it produces marvelous results in the lives of men and women who have it. Faith makes all the difference. Now you'll remember that in the closing words of chapter 10, our author quotes Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, stating that the righteous will live by faith. Then he continues on to warn his readers about the danger of shrinking back from following the Son of God. You remember this? Let's just read it afresh, the last verse of chapter 10. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. But we, essentially, we are of those who have faith to the preserving of our souls, or the soul. And at this point, our writer essentially says to his readers that he thinks better of them, and of himself, by the way, that they are not of those who would shrink back in fear and trembling from following Jesus, but they would persevere. They are of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So here we have it, the subject of the next 40 verses, faith. Steve just read to you a while ago, and he didn't read part of it, and I kind of asked him to do that on purpose. But the children of Israel trembled when they saw Pharaoh coming. And they were in danger of shrinking back, weren't they? And the writer of this letter warns his readers. But he does think that they are the sort who have faith. And that will make all the difference. In a world of trouble and woe, he said, faith will preserve the soul. Now, in reading this, wouldn't you want to know more about this quality of faith? How am I going to get through here? If I'm not careful, I'll just turn out to be rotten. I need some preservation. Faith. Thus we have Hebrews chapter 11. And so as we turn to chapter 11, we have verses 1-3, which we just read. And they serve as an introduction to the rest of the chapter, wherein our author gives us a full and expansive essay on the subject of faith. It's just, well, every time I read it, I think, man, that's good. Now, in verse 1, it says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And in that, I'm quoting the King James Version or the Authorized Version. And if we look carefully at the verse, we will see that it contains two truths that run parallel to one another, complementing one another. And yet they are not exactly the same. This, by the way, is very much like the poetry of the Psalms of the Old Testament, where an idea is stated and then it is repeated in a slightly different way to add nuance and meaning. Have you noticed that as you read the Psalms? I thought I'd like an example of that, which I'm not going to give you, but I opened the Bible, the first page, there's this parallelism. The author says one thing one way, and then just right below it, he says the same exact same thing, but with a, I shouldn't say exact same thing, but he says the same thing with a slight turn, which enrich the first phrase. So let me just put it this way. I'll do verse 1 in a parallel way, okay? Faith is a substance or essence underlying our hope. Did you follow that? You want me to read it again? Faith is the substance or essence underlying our hopes. And then the parallel, faith is the evidence or proof concerning matters unseen. They build on one another, they parallel one another, and enrich one another. Both halves of this verse 1 tell us about how faith functions in the life of the Christian. And we're going to look at both of them. First, faith colors our view of the future. Secondly, faith colors our view concerning the present world, a world that is unseen and nevertheless real. It's two things going on there in verse 1. Now let's just start with the first one. Faith is the substance or essence underlying our hopes. One could put it this way. Faith is the ground and assurance that God is good and that hope in Him is not misplaced. Or, faith takes hold of the essential truth that God is good and can be trusted with our eternal future. I like that one too. Or, faith experiences the essence of what is hoped for in advance of the sight of it in the future. Or, faith is the title deed of things still hoped for. Or, and finally, faith is rightly called the substance of things which are still the object of our hope. Now, all these various readings are readings given by scholars and preachers about this one verse. But this verse has a central focus. Faith looks out into the future and sees a reality that those without faith can scarcely dream. Faith sees even now an unseen yet rapidly approaching future. If you have faith, you can see the future and be sure of the future. Now, Christians are sometimes criticized for putting all their eggs in one basket. That is heaven. I'd like to just joke around here a bit, but eggs are expensive. But I won't. But we're criticized for that. We put all of our eggs in one basket, living for something that will never happen. Isn't that what they say of us? I think, Steve, did you mention the phrase pie in the sky? Pie's important too. But Christians are accused of just living like that's all that matters. They see Christians as the ultimate foolish gambler who would bet the rent money on a racehorse that most likely will come in last. Those who say such things prove that they are oblivious to what real Christian faith and hope is. Faith even now knows and experiences a world yet unseen. The saints look off to the resurrection of the dead and the second coming of Jesus because they have already met the living one who is even now the resurrection and the life. Faith in a mystery has already been born in our hearts, and the simplest Christian can tell you that for him, the resurrection life has already begun. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find, none other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Faith sees this and grasps it. And if you tell him he's a fool about putting his eggs in that one basket, he'll ignore you. But I'm going to hedge here. Now, in the light of this, we must be careful to avoid the common fault of pushing the experience of the spiritual world completely out into the future. So this brings us to the second half of verse 1. Faith is the evidence or proof concerning matters that are unseen. Faith colors our view concerning this present world. A world unseen, but even now, nevertheless, real. The Christian not only looks hopefully off into the future, but by faith, he looks around himself and sees an unseen reality all around him. The scriptures inform him, his brothers and sisters in Christ tell him that things that are not quite what they appear. What's that wonderful verse? Though the world is off so strong, how's that go? This is my Father's world. How's the rest of that go? God is the ruler yet. We look around and say, We're losing. Faith sees something right now. God is ruler yet. The Christian has even now an inner witness, evidence, or proof that within himself, a proof within himself that this world is not necessarily what it appears to be. The picture of blessedness and happiness painted in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is founded on the principle that things are not as they appear. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These are the kind of people that walked in a way that saw things that the average man didn't see. Faith acknowledges unseen realities about this present world. By faith, we see almost intuitively the evidence of an unseen spiritual world. Do you ever feel that way? Boy, that's the devil. Or you see a believer somewhere and you think, oh, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And all the normal man sees is John Henry Smith standing there in his overalls, weeding his garden. The believer smiles to himself when the spiritual life is ridiculed by unbelievers. For he sees the unseen. When the worldlings of this age squander their lives on degradation and sin, the Christian grieves in his heart for his fellow man who is unaware of the unseen danger that is approaching him. The unseen. Now let's move on to verse 2. By faith, the men of old gained approval. This verse sets the stage for a major portion of what is to follow in Hebrews chapter 11. But by faith, men of old gained approval. Faith is the conduit through which the grace of God flows into our heart. And our lives are enriched. And God smiles upon us. Faith is the conduit through which all of this flows. Now, if you, the scripture says, by faith, by grace you've been saved through faith. You know that verse? If you combine our verse tonight with Ephesians 2, one might say, by the means of grace through faith, men of old experience the approval of God Himself. Now, the 17th century Puritan John Owen said it this way. By the way, John Owen says he would give all of his degrees to be able to preach like John Bunyan. What's that, babe? She's whispering things and I can't hear a word she says.
The tinker?
Is that what he said? The tinker, John Bunyan. Oh, he said that? I didn't know he mentioned the tinker part. Okay. John Owen was a very educated feller. But this is what he said about faith. From the beginning of the world, in all ages, and under all dispensations, faith has been the only principle in the church of the living God of obtaining promises, of inheriting eternal life. And this continues to be the principle unto the consummation of all things. The record here of what faith has done is evidence about what it will do. Faith can do all things that belong to the life of God. And without faith, nothing can be done. Now next week, with verse 4, our author begins a survey of Old Testament history. Beginning with Abel, the history of the mighty deeds accomplished through faith is expounded. Down to the very end, it seems, as John Owen said it, faith is the great tool by which God works wonders in the life of the saints. Now, the Greek philosopher Archimedes is credited with saying, "Give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, and I will move the world." Y'all remember that? Now, I don't know if he said it. Probably did. You know, Abraham Lincoln said you can't believe everything on the internet. Anyway. But he's credited with saying that. But I disagree about Archimedes' fulcrum and lever and stuff. Simple faith in God imparts not only, probably impacts not only the world, but eternity. When Joshua looked to the Lord on that day of battle, the very sun in the sky stood still. Faith outstrips the lever and fulcrum of Archimedes. It can do anything. I'm going to break away just a minute. Remember when the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith? I love what he replied. The faith as a mustard seed can cast this mountain into the sea. It doesn't even take much faith. Just look unto him. Our God is the one who acts. But let's move on to verse 3. Now here again is a mighty text. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now let's note first of all the simple phrase, by faith. For that phrase, by faith, you go ahead and you mark it in your Bibles. Don't do it now. Steve mentioned mathematics this morning. I was told I wasn't very good at mathematics, and I told people I wasn't good at mathematics, and they looked at me and they said, no, Jeff, you're not good at arithmetic. But I think I've counted accurately the times that by the phrase by faith appears in chapter 11. 18 times. By faith. And he begins here in verse 3. Faith is an all-important instrument in the economy of God. We will say more about this in the next weeks, but here in tonight's text, our author makes a stunning declaration as to the importance of faith. He says, by faith we understand. Now for the moment, just for the moment here, let's come to a full stop after the word understand. By faith we understand. Let's just put a period right there. I can say with utter confidence that men and women who live in unbelief live and walk in a world they totally misunderstand. This is my contention. True understanding about the universe arises from the heart of faith. Francis Schaeffer, a prophetic voice of the last century, maintained that the age of enlightenment, with all of its scientific advancements, dawned in Europe and came on the heels of the Reformation and the light that came with it. Did you get that? What's the book they need to read, Elizabeth?
How Should We Then Live?
How Should We Then Live? It's a great book. Those who refuse to believe enclose themselves in a dark and confining prison where the light of grace does not shine. I didn't say that. P.E. Hughes said it, and so I'm going to repeat it. Those who refuse to believe enclose themselves in a dark and confining prison where the light of grace does not shine. The simplest believer can say in truth that he understands more than all of his teachers. Why? Because of faith. Here in our text tonight, our author specifically mentions what Christians can understand about this world. He understands that the universe and all that it contains was prepared and framed by the very declaration of God Himself. The believer sees the world around him as the handiwork of the Creator of all things. And our author goes on, for he says, what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Scientific theory tells us today that physical matter is eternal. And from that physical matter, all that is seen today has come about by mere accident of atoms and stuff banging together. Now, believe me, the universe and the worlds thereof are beyond human imagining. But you and I can say with complete confidence, what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. All that we see was created, prepared, and framed by the Word of God Himself. Now, we're close to the ending here, and I'd like to return to the simple phrase, by faith we understand. This phrase gives me great comfort as I deal with the inexplicable turning of events that I see going on around the world, in my own personal life sometimes, and everywhere. This phrase, by faith we understand, it gives me great comfort. Sometimes I want explanations. I want God to enlighten me, to tell me the details concerning the mysteries I encounter. But this is how this verse helps me. I don't necessarily need explanations, enlightenment, etc. What I need is faith. The light of God flows into the heart of those who believe. I'd like to add here that the questionings and darkening doubts cease when faith enters. Faith gives up its cause to God and allows Him to act. For faith renounces all impatient meddling and interference and remains silent before God. He remains silent in a holy and reverent sphere. Reverence and fear. Now, this is what the nation of Israel from the beginning was called to walk in faith. All you have to do is stand and remain silent in faith. And I just say, Lord, give us faith like this. For this is when Pharaoh and all his armies are swept into the sea. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your kindness to us. And you've met our little faith and come to us repeatedly. And been our comfort and our guide and our provider. Father, we ask you to cause us to look off into the future and see the glorious hope that is before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.